So if you've missed the first sessions, I think most of the notes are over there. We have been talking about the incentive of inheritance. There's three things we're predestinated to. All right? We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ someday. Praise the Lord. We are predestinated to be adopted into God's family and forever, and of course, predestinated to an inheritance. Predestination has nothing to do with the salvation of your soul or whether you go to heaven or hell or not. It has to do with things after salvation. But what kind of an inheritance will we have? We are going to enjoy heaven in many ways alike, but in a lot of ways, heaven is going to be different for every one of us depending on what we did with God and with the help of His Holy Spirit from the moment we were saved until we die or the rapture takes place and catches us away. So your time is valuable. And inheritance will be based on those things. Now, what I have done is studied this subject out and produced this curriculum using three R's. It's called alliteration. It's just an amazing way to remember Bible doctrine, is to try to alliterate truths. So far, we have seen that our inheritance involves, number one, rewards. The first lesson, we saw 12 different specific rewards spelled out for us in the New Testament. And then royal crowns was number two. There's five different royal crowns mentioned in the New Testament, and also the information on how to get one. We went through that in lesson two over there, royal crowns, and I hope you think this stuff is real. This stuff lasts forever, rewards and royal crowns. The things on this earth just are temporary until we take our last breath. And then we never see him again, ever. So put your heart, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Last week we talked about riches. Riches, that's the third R. Some people are going to be richer than others in heaven. And we went through about eight scriptures where it talked about treasures in heaven, and an inheritance that fadeth not away in verses of scripture. I think they're over there. If not, we can get them. Tonight we come to number four, and that's ruling and reigning. Some will rule and reign with Christ, others will not. Others will be ruled and reigned, or others will rule and reign, depending on some things that we will learn tonight. And so, in Matthew 25, beginning at verse number 14, we have this parable of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, the first way to rule and reign is by serving. When we get to number two, it's by suffering. And some people do both, depending on where you live. Some people have served the Lord and suffered for the Lord. But notice the word servants. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability. So the Lord is not asking you to do anything, but that he will give you the ability, and we'll see how he bestows his grace upon us. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded the same and made another five talents. And likewise he that had two, he also gained other two, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of his servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The other fellow didn't do anything with what God gave him. And I believe that's a picture of somebody who doesn't do anything with the gospel to his own eternal damnation and hurt. But we want to notice in this parable, verses 21 and 23, notice the words of their Lord when these faithful servants did something with what God had given them. And the wording is almost identical in verses 21 and 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And so I want you to notice tonight the idea of ruling and reigning with Christ, which we'll see a lot of other scriptures yet tonight that will back up what this parable is saying. And this is for servants. So on our notes here regarding ruling and reigning, we see number one, those who are faithful with their gifts, talents, and calling will rule and reign with Christ. Now, I have heard this verse used at funerals many times for people who didn't do a thing for God. Just some warm, fuzzy funeral verse. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful. They weren't faithful. They didn't do a thing for the Lord. And so we got to watch out about making warm, fuzzy funeral verses out of what the Bible says. I want you to notice 5 things this verse says. Number one, well done. A person is not going to rule and reign with Christ unless they've done something, and unless they've done it well. All right? God doesn't lie. He doesn't exaggerate. He's not going to say well done to somebody who didn't do something well. And so I want to encourage you to find out what is your gift, what is your calling, what are your talents, and find a way to use them in God's work and do it well. Do it well. Well done. And then the second criteria is being good. Well done, thou good. Good. We need to be good. We as believers in Jesus Christ should be good people. And we're going to get to a lesson a couple weeks from now called the forfeiture of our inheritance and how the Bible says somebody can have an inheritance and then throw it all away. And I remember the story Doug Fisher talked about the cow. Remember that cow? That would give her milk. And then after she had given all of her milk in the bucket, she would then stick her foot in the bucket. And if you've ever seen a cow's foot and where it's been, you know that that contaminated the whole bucket of milk and the milk was worthless. So she put her whole life work into the bucket and then stepped in it. And folks, we gotta watch. Make sure we're doing something. Give our life work, you know. Give our milk, but then don't step in the bucket. And he preached a sermon. Doug Fisher did when he was preaching. He called, "Don't step in the bucket." And he talked about that. Don't go your whole life doing good, and then right at the end, you know, stick your foot in the bucket. Well done, thou good. God wants you and I to be good people, good people. And so let us always be yielding to the Holy Spirit, becoming better and being good people. And then the next criteria is faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So number three is faithful. We need to be faithful. That word faithful means trustworthy, dependable, always consistent. Don't you just love faithful people? A faithful man shall abound in blessings. And you and I, if we're going to rule and reign with Christ, need to find what God would have us to do and then be faithful at it. Be consistent. Don't be up and down and in and out depending on our feelings. If you ever get a chance, there's a very, very famous sermon called Duty. It was preached by a pastor named Jack Hiles way back in the 1980s. If you ever get a chance to hear that word duty, that sermon Duty, it's a tremendous sermon that profoundly affected my life, that where we just need to do our duty, and duty is love. There's so many different facets of love, and that's one of them. And just be faithful. And he stresses in that sermon that it's easy to start something, and you're all excited, and you're all just really into it, and wow, I get to do this or that for the Lord, and he calls it in the sermon, you have that tingle. He says, but we're about ready to find out if you're a good Christian when the tingle wears off. And you no longer have the feeling, but you know it's what God called you to. And then will you just be faithful? Just be faithful whether you feel like doing it or not. Just be faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful. And then notice the fourth criteria is servant. Servant. We need to be a servant. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to me or you if we haven't been a servant. What is a servant? That is a life that is about helping and serving God and others. Serving God, serving others, serving our fellow man, doing everything we can to reach them with the gospel or to help them down life's road and not thinking about ourselves or living for ourselves, but be a servant. And then the last thing he says is over a few things. Number five, a few things. Notice that. We don't have to do everything. We are not overwhelmed in God's work to the point of burnout. I've seen people like that, and they're noble. They're noble people. They want to do everything because they love the Lord. Have you ever seen people like that? That's noble. I'm so grateful for people like that. But if they burn out, they won't make it to their finish line. And so the Lord here in this parable just teaches you and I about being faithful over a few things according to our several ability, as we saw in the text where he gave each person so much, and he obviously gives different people different talents, different amounts, different that they can carry. I mean, I just... We had a dear lady at our church in Countryside last Thursday. I was talking to, who was visiting. She's from Tennessee. She was visiting, and she says, have you ever heard of our church, the Bellevue Baptist Church? I said, absolutely. I've heard of that church. She says, yeah, there's times where we have 30,000 people in church on Sunday morning. And I said, yeah, Adrian Rogers was the pastor there. It's a Southern Baptist church, but Adrian was a pastor there for, I don't know, 50-some years or something. I obviously have nowhere close the ability of an Adrian Rogers, all right? But God wants me to be faithful with the ability I have. And God wants you to be faithful with the ability you have. And the scripture says we are not wise at all if we compare ourselves one with another. You're not wise. Don't compare yourself. Just say, okay, this is the ability that God has given me, and I'm going to be faithful over a few things. A few things. That's his word there in verse number 21. Well done, thou faithful, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And he says the same thing to the servant who had less and did less. But he says, because you've been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. And I had a little trouble with that as a young pastor when I would see some of these huge ministries and pastors and said, how would, you know, I would get discouraged like I was supposed to be equal with them. Well, no. I don't have the ability they have. And just have to work within the ability God has given me, the grace, the health, and all those factors. And so do you. But find a few things. Find a way to do them well. Keep learning. Brother Gear is going to be in August 19th. If you're a teacher, you work with kids clubs, assistants, teaching, just go to that and learn. Is there something I can do better for what God has given to me? And God is not, you know, in that lifestyle where people are just absolutely burned out, although I do like that saying, I'd rather burn out than rust out. I do like that. Sometimes people say that, I'd rather burn out than rust out. That's true, but that's not the only options. We can just be faithful over a few things, and just be faithful over a few things. I never wanted my wife to burn out, so I never let her do much in the church. You know, she would just fill in here if she was needed here, and some of those things went on for years and years, but I never wanted her to burn out. And we don't want you to burn out either. I think Pastor has that same spirit about him. But our notes say, don't ever give up on little things you are doing for God. While waiting to do something big for God, do a bunch of little things. All right, there's wisdom right there. You know, there's so many examples. Mrs. Lindsay's downstairs right now. I've known that lady since 1980. I've known her for 43 years. I've watched her. She never quits. She never gives up. She never slows down. And she's always had something going on. I just was down there. She has six children tonight. Okay? Six children tonight. I've seen her bring busloads when we used to run big buses of over 100 people on Sunday to church. I've seen her do good news clubs with two kids who showed up. Or three. And she is just, now if you added up over the last 43 years what she has done, it is huge. But at the time, if you go downstairs right now, you think, you've got a little class of six kids. But those things add up. Those things add up. So if you want to do something big for God, find something little to do and just keep doing it. 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 Like Micah's dad, Dave, I've known him forever. And I think he's driven the bus over at the old time, I think for over 30 years. I think. Now let's do some math. He drives the bus to church. He drives it home, two trips on a Sunday. How many times is that in a year? Let's say the year is 50 Sundays. Who can do the math on that? How many trips does he take? 100? All right, 100. He's done it for 30 years. How many trips did he take? Fred? You're quick, man. You were one of those guys with the inventory over at Wegmans for a living. Amen. 3,000 trips. All right? 3,000 trips he made with a bus. Now, when you see him on a single Sunday, one Sunday, you think, what'd you do for the Lord? Oh, I drove the bus to church and back today. When you look at that, it looks really small. Thanks for doing that. Wonderful. But after 30 years, he's done it 3,000 times. Now, I know the people are mostly the same every week, but let's say there's 30 on his bus every week. How many human beings did he transport to church in 30 years? Who can do the math? What? 3,000 trips. 30 on a bus, maybe on average. Probably more. Fred! 90,000. 90,000 human beings. Okay, now most of them are the same. They come every week. I understand that. But do you get the picture? Does that sound big? Sounds big. So don't ever give up on doing, well, I'm just the church, but no. Wow. Don't ever give up on the little things you are doing for God while waiting to do something big for God. Do a bunch of little things. I love that truth. Because, boy, you just do little things and you just do it faithful. You know that those little old bitty ladies that we grew up in our church who would teach four girls every Sunday in their Sunday school class and they do it for 40 years. And, boy, you add that up and it's like, wow. Look at the influence you had. See, that's the problem. Some people sit around saying, well, as soon as God calls me to do something big, I'll do something big. Now just do something little. And just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And our Lord's going to say, because you have been faithful in a very few things, I'll make you ruler over many. In fact, I think I'm going to just go to Luke 19 here. It's on your notes, but I'm going to read verses 17 and 19 because I think Luke adds a word. Let me see. Well done, thou faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. Have authority over 10 cities. Verse 19. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. See, there's actually going to be a literal reign of Jesus Christ on this earth someday for 1,000 years. That's not some fairy tale we read about in Revelation. Revelation 19, 6 times it says 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. That's why we call it the millennium. Jesus Christ is going to come to the clouds for us first. We're going to go to be with the Lord. 7 years later, he's going to come back with those who are going to rule and reign with him on white horses. His feet are going to touch the earth on the Mount of Olives. He's going to go into the temple. He's going to rule the world from there. And we'll get to some verses here in a moment about how we will rule and reign with him. Be faithful over a few little things. And I say that, I mean, if you're a pastor of a little church, be faithful over that little church. Just be faithful. If you got a little, if you're just a nursery worker, just be faithful. Yeah, you know, the Lord's watching, man. He's up there with a clipboard and he just keeps adding it up. Faithful, faithful, faithful. I'm telling you, that's the truth. We got to let this sink in. That's big. Because you've been faithful with, what did it say in verse 17 here? Be faithful in a very little. Have authority over 10 cities. That'd be pretty neat. For some of us that like that stuff, that would be pretty neat. Now there's another way to rule and reign with Christ. Number two, and it's those who suffer for Christ. Notice here, number two. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him, R-E-I-G-N. If we deny him, he will also deny us, and I believe that in the context would be he will deny, and we'll see this, he will deny us the opportunity to rule and reign with him. We will be the ruled. We will be the reigned over, and we're going to see not only through the millennium, but into eternity. Now, I'm not saying heaven's going to be a bad experience or anything like that. But here in Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 28, Luke 22, I want you to notice what Jesus said to his 12 disciples. Now, this isn't for us. This was for those 12 apostles, I should say. And he said in Luke 22, verse 28, to them, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. That's the trials that Jesus went through and the troubles Jesus went through. They continue with him. They were faithful with him. They suffered with him. And number two is those who suffer for Christ will reign with him. And so verse 29 says, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we see that their locale will be Israel, and that the 12 apostles because they had continued with Christ in his temptations. Now we know a couple of times they fell down, but they got back up again and finished strong. Amen? And if we continue with Christ in his temptations and we suffer for Christ, we will rule and reign with the Lord. And what a privileged group these 12 apostles have, because they suffered with Christ. And all of them, we believe, from traditional history, went on to die for Christ, except maybe John. We believe they were all martyred. 11 of them were martyred, including Matthias, according to traditional history. And John, of course, suffered in many ways, too, out on the Isle of Patmos with the common criminals and so on. Now, it says in Revelation 21:14 about these guys, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles. Wow, their names are going to be eternally inscribed in the foundations of the New Jerusalem. I mean, there they're going to be, Peter, James, John, Philip, and all of them are just, why? Because they suffered for Christ. They suffered for Christ. Now, the thing that I like about this here, number two, is do you realize that some people never got a chance to serve Christ, number one? Number one tonight was serving Christ. Doing it well, being good, being faithful, being a servant. Just doing a few things. They serve Christ. Some never had the chance to serve Christ, but they had the chance to suffer. I've heard stories, you've heard stories about, for instance, some Muslim who converts to Christ and his family kills him. You ever heard those stories? Family disowns him. They're thrown in prison. I've heard stories in communist countries where somebody came to know the Lord, got caught with the Bible, got stuck in prison for 25 years, or working in these sweatshops that make all of our stuff. They never had a chance to serve Christ. They never had a chance to be a member of a local church. They never had a chance to teach or preach or sing or find out what their gift or calling was and use it inside of a local church or anything like that. No, they're running for their lives. They never had the chance to serve, but they had the chance to suffer, and they just as much will rule and reign with Christ. For if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. It says, and others had bad trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Amen. They never got to join a church. They never got to say, Pastor, what can I do? You know, they never got to drive a bus for 30 years or teach girls or a little girls' class or a little boys' class or something for 40 years. They never got a chance to do that, but they got a chance to suffer. And many of them were killed. I mean, do you realize little boys and little girls were killed for Christ in the Roman Empire? I mean, put to death at the stake, burned to death, because they were followers of Christ. Some of them were burned to death in front of their parents to see if their parents would recant their faith. Those little boys and girls never had a chance to grow up and become Sunday school teachers and soul winners and all these things, but they suffered for Christ. They suffered for Christ. And I don't know how all of heaven works or what this all means, ruling and reigning with Christ. But I know, first of all, and we'll call this number three tonight, some will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's a long time. To suffer for a little bit here in this life, and then to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, that's a good trade-off. In I skip some of these verses. Revelation 20 talks about the angel coming down. He binds the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan for 1,000 years, casts him into a bottomless pit. Verse 4, and I saw thrones. Now, this is the millennium. I saw thrones, plural, thrones. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Who? Those who serve the Lord faithfully and those who suffered for the Lord, or both. There's people who serve the Lord and suffered for the Lord. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. That's during the tribulation period. And for the word of God, in which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark of their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned for 1,000 years. Even tribulation converts, even though that's such a short dispensation, only 7 years long, even them, because of their suffering for those 7 years, will reign with Christ 1,000 years. And the next verse, Revelation 12:5, Christ will rule and reign with a rod of iron. So not only will we reign, but we'll reign with Christ. It says about Christ in Revelation 12 and verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child, that's Jesus, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That's the Lord Jesus, his ascension. The woman being the Virgin Mary and also Israel. Jesus is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. I have a rod of iron. I was going to bring it tonight as a visual aid. Maybe I'll bring it next week. A visual aid. I got a rod of iron. I keep it in my shed. I don't know if it's a literal rod of iron or figurative, but it's probably figurative. And it says about Jesus in Revelation 19 and verse number 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. So notice for the second time, Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here, please. But the next time he comes, he's not going to be Mr. Nice Guy. Okay, we live in a day of mercy and grace right now. But when he comes at that time, things are going to be done his way, is what that expression says. Jesus is going to rule and reign. But now listen to this. Listen to this now. Revelation 2, verses 26 and 27. And he that overcometh. Now, if you study that in the context, that means he that gets saved and keepeth my works unto the end, that's he that serves, to him will I give power over the nations. That goes along with the parable we studied earlier in Matthew 25 and Luke chapter 19. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So not only is Jesus literally or figuratively ruling with a rod of iron, but everybody that rules with him with a rod of iron will rule and reign with the Lord. That's going to be something. And, you know, I don't like the way things are going in this world and in this country and in New York State and in Erie County. I don't like it. There's times where I get kind of like, I wish I could do something about this. And sometimes you get these radical thoughts in your mind. But then the scriptures come to you and say, wait a minute, we're gonna have our chance someday. We're going to rule and reign with Christ, and things are going to be done his way. And we're going to be like in a supernatural body at the time. As we've borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And we shall all be changed. In a moment, we're going to be like Christ. We won't be deities. No, 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 we're not Mormons. We're not going to be gods, but we're gonna have amazing bodies that are described with just like supernatural, and we're going to rule and reign with Christ, and things are going to be done his way, and we're going to rule and reign with him. Now, maybe you're some meek, kind, quiet, dear, sweet lady tonight, and you don't quite understand this spirit. But some of us are like, you know, we want to go down to City Hall, and we can't do that, though, can we? We got to wait. We got to wait. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day when King Jesus is going to come to the Mount of Olives, he's going to walk into the temple. Satan's going to be bound. People are still going to be born. They're still going to be sinners by nature, but there's going to be no one to tempt them. But they'll need to be ruled. The nations will need to be ruled. There's still going to be nations. I think we talked about that Sunday. The nations. Well, the last thing tonight, number four, their reign. Now, this is interesting right here, and I can't explain this. I looked into David Sorensen's book on these verses, and he couldn't quite explain it, and I don't think anyone can explain it. There's just some things we're going to have to wait for to see. And so we shouldn't get contentious or dogmatic about some things, right? You just got it. But listen to these verses now. We're going to go from the earth, millennium, and now we're going to go into eternity where there's only saved people. And when there's only saved people left, everybody else has been cast into a lake of fire. It tells us in Revelation 21:24 at the bottom of your notes here, these words, it says, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory into it." Verse 26, "And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it." Okay, so there's going to be the nations. Everybody, I don't know if it's going to be like, here's all the saved people that ever lived in America, and here's all the saved people that ever lived in Canada, and here's all the saved people that ever lived in Israel, and here's all the saved people that ever lived in Nicaragua or Cambodia or the Philippines. I don't know, but the nations of them which are saved. "And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it." This is talking about the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And then the last chapter says, in verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse," of chapter 22, "but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." And just for time's sake, we're going to skip a couple of verses, go to verse 5. "And there shall be no night there, and no, they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Now, I don't know what that means. David Sorensen doesn't know what that means, but there's going to be some believers who are going to reign in heaven and reign in the New Jerusalem. And I believe it's those whose criteria we have studied tonight, who served God faithfully or suffered for God in this little life or both. So there's a lot at stake here. That's why we call this at the top of your notes the incentive of inheritance. The incentive of inheritance. And we got to decide sometime, do I just want to live for myself down here and then, yeah, heaven's going to be great. Jesus is going to be there. God will dwell with them. There's going to be a street of gold, and there's going to be, you know, the river of life and the tree of life and the throne of God and the emerald rainbow over his throne and all that. I think everyone's going to enjoy that. But there's some believers who have lived over the last 2,000 years since Christ left who are faithful, who served, and who suffered, and somehow there's going to be still some form of government for all of eternity through heaven and in the New Jerusalem. And that's why it says in verse 5, "And they shall reign forever and ever." The same ones that he was talking about. So some are going to reign during the millennium, and then it's going to go right into heaven, and others, I guess, will be reigned over. And ruled over. I don't know. Again, I don't know. David Sorensen doesn't know, and other Bible commentaries. All we can say is That's what the Bible says. And so heaven, you know, I've said this for 40 years. Heaven's a lot different than what most people think it is. A lot different. And there's a lot more revealed about heaven to us in the scriptures than what we think. And I hope that, first of all, you're saved. And when the nations go marching in, you ever see that in the Olympics? The first day and the last day? You ever see that? I almost think that's like a visual aid for us of what heaven's like. And here comes the nations of them that are saved, man. Just marching in here. I'm not going to admit, probably not have an American flag or anything, but these are the Americans that got saved. And these are the ones among the Americans who served me and suffered for me, and they're going to help me rule and reign during the millennium and then into all of eternity. And here's the Cambodians and the Filipinos that got saved and served me and suffered for me. And they're going to help me rule and reign on earth and in heaven. And in heaven. Well, we'll go on to the last R next week. And then we got one more lesson after that on the scary part, the forfeiture of our inheritance. But are you serving the Lord? I don't know what kind of incentive you need to serve the Lord, but I hope some of this is affecting you, and I pray that it is. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and the glimpses you have given us into the future. And we think of people like Abraham and Moses, who your Word specifically says that what they saw by faith in eternity is what caused them to serve you so faithfully down here on earth. Moses even leaving Pharaoh's house, esteeming the riches of Christ far better than anything that he could have ever mustered down here on earth on his best day. And so, Lord, help us. We have the chance as Americans to serve you more than suffering. There's not much suffering right now, Lord, and in a way, I guess we thank you for that. But we also thank you for those that have suffered, the martyrs, those that have been in prison, incarcerated, tortured, that they're going to rule and reign not only for 1,000 years, but forever. Because they counted not their lives dear unto them. And so, Lord, affect us by these Bible studies. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's just sing a song, 843, in closing before we dismiss. If you need to be saved, I would be glad to talk to you, Pastor Seth, Pastor Barron. But you don't have to be saved by a pastor. There's other men, other ladies. I heard about someone got saved here last Wednesday night, and praise the Lord. And you can too. You don't have to leave without Christ. If you just say, boy, I'm not sure what you're even talking about, somebody can show you. And then as believers, let's not count our lives dear to us. But just serve. We got great opportunities this summer around here. Just serve the Lord.